Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. How is everyone doing today? On the first day of the week, I'm glad you decided to share that with me today so we can talk about current events or whatever you want to talk about today. You know, everybody seems to still be talking about this verdict. And I'm just curious, why do black people cry? Can somebody answer that question for me? I don't understand where the tears is coming from, the black people's crying and stuff. What are we crying about? Because he got off? Are we crying because the people are dead or because he got off? You know, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, I don't get it. I mean, why are we crying? This happens to us all the time. And I'm really not sure, you know, why everybody's so surprised that they have a special verdict for us and a special justice for them. I don't understand that. Can somebody please explain it and help me understand it? Because I don't. I mean, the NAACP is hollering, it's an injustice. We've been telling y'all that for the longer. And we've been telling you why. But I guess the show has to go on. I don't know. But I've seen all these people out there crying. I'm like, okay, why are you all crying? I want to play the clip from the NAACP. But that's what we're going to do today. I don't want to do a whole lot of talking if I don't have to. Because I end up talking to myself. And I really don't want to have to do that. But let's see what they say about it. Here we go. Let's check this out. Find out why we don't have no sound.
Witness and seen on screen.
All right. Visceral reaction to the verdict today.
It was unfortunate for the families of the victim with this outcome. We all witnessed and seen on screen what happened. But it's a true tale of what we need to do moving forward. Here's a judge that's been elected for the past 3 days, mostly unopposed. I hope that community take note and recognize that this particular judge is not providing justice for that community. In addition to that, the jury pool question is a real question that we must embrace in a way in which we increase the number of people who are registered to vote and willing to serve on juries. It was an injustice. This was worse than the Emmett Till trial. This was worse to so many trials where we know for a fact individuals committed murder and yet they were not brought to justice. It is unfortunate, but this is America.
Do you think that it emboldens other people to pick up guns and go to protests or, you know, communities of color to terrorize folks? I mean, I feel like one of the dangerous precedents this sets is people who don't live in a particular community will go to where unrest is after a police shooting. We've seen police shootings happen far too often.
Well, this is the legacy of the Trump administration. It is about the otherness and emboldens so many people, whether it's in Charlottesville or the synagogue in Pittsburgh or in this case, where people feel like it is okay to display their white supremacist behavior in the public square, unfortunately for the families of the victims of this murder. Here's a 17-year-old who came across state lines with a firearm that he purchased illegally, driven by his mother to a community that did not invite him, allegedly protecting property that was not his property, to support law enforcement officers who didn't need support. And so there is no logical reason for him to be there. The fact that this judge dismissed the armed charges, which should not have shouldn't have been dismissed. The real question here is, was there a federal crime committed? Should the Biden administration be bringing federal charges in this case? Do we have a U.S. attorney that's been appointed in this jurisdiction so that we can look at whether or not this young man should be charged? You and I both know, had this person been African-American or Latino, he would be behind bars tonight. And unfortunately, the families of the victims will not receive justice.
Yeah.
what is the role of civil rights organizations in this particular moment? How do you see your role with an organization like the NAACP that's connected to this long history? I see this case as a part of the history that we're all living through. How do you see your place in it?
Well, it is definitely a part of history living through. In fact, the reason why the NAACP was created because, on average, an African American was being lynched every day when we were created in 1909. And so for our advocacy voice, one, we must reform our criminal justice systems. Two, in terms of the communities that we represent, we must encourage a heightened engagement, particularly when you have judges who are elected or jury pools that are not as diverse as necessary. The sad part of what we're witnessing right now is the potential outcome of the Ahmaud Arbery killing that those three individuals actually did. We've seen that on tape. But unfortunately, in that community with 25% African Americans, only one juror, we are unfortunately faced with the same outcome. We cannot have a justice system that's unjust. We have a legal system that's void of justice for African Americans and Latinos across the country, and in many cases, poor whites as well.
All right, you guys, what do you think? What do you think about that? Somebody push one. I mean, you know, this is what we're talking about today on Sunday Current Event. I didn't know he was driven there by his mother. And I didn't know he purchased the gun illegally. You know, all those things have come out. I didn't really follow this, you know, but I don't even know what to say. I mean, you know, there ain't a whole lot you could say. I just was wondering. I guess the black people feel like if you can get away with this in your own neighborhood, what's going to happen when we start having stuff going on in ours? Hold on a minute. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yep, it's the same old, same old. It don't, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. They do the same things all the time. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised at all that, you know, they gave this kind of verdict. But the way I look at it is, this is y'all that's exposing who they are because the whole world see it. So let them do what they do. We just need to stay prayed up and stay out of the way for right now because they're going to do some more horrendous stuff in a minute.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, I think they had sympathy on him because of his age. You know what I'm saying? And gave him a pass because of his age. But how many of our young people have gotten into altercations at 17 years old and was tried as an adult?
Yep, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And they locked him up in the penitentiary with hardened criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if there was ever a time, we keep saying it and saying it and saying it, that we need to pray, it is now. Because we're right on the verge of deliverance. We are. We're right on the verge of deliverance. And I heard one of the Hebrew Israelite groups, I ain't going to call no names, but he was on YouTube talking about America ain't going to let us go. I said, they got to let us go. They ain't going to let us go. What do you mean they ain't going to let us go?
Man, I'm not even going to comment on that because they just, you know, people say what they say. They don't believe in the Most High if they say they ain't going to let us go because he ain't going to give them a choice.
Right. They're not going to have a choice in whether, well, we spend too much money in this country and they just not going to let the African-American people go. And they ain't going to have no choice.
Ooh.
You know, it's just it's a sad thing to see anytime anybody is gunned down like that in cold blood. It's a sad thing to see. And I seen on one of the clips where they was like, when is his mother going to be put on trial? Because I didn't know she drove him to the place.
Yeah.
And how does a 17-year-old have an automatic weapon when he ain't even old enough to drink?
That is so true. My son was saying that, you know, how does he get that weapon? My son even said that he was watching that after that happened. The young man was on TikTok and all that stuff talking about how he wanted to kill somebody, and, you know, how he wanted to be there. And I mean, it's just too much involved. And then he got on there and cried all them crocodile tears and swole up like a big baby, and they just felt sorry for him, you know, that white privilege thing.
No question about that. I mean, you know, when you think about America and the contributions that we have made, the majority of it is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It is. When they do Black History Month, it's about jazz singers and jigaboos, and very rarely do they give us the recognition for anything that we have created or made. All that was taken and stolen. And now that we understand and we know who we are, now we have to deal with watching this double system and wishing and hoping that something changes. And that's my thing. How long is it going to take for you to get that it ain't going to change? That it's never going to change. The black man will never be on top in America. Never.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this was designed for. And everybody keep fighting and scraping for the same few little crumbs instead of giving in to the Most High and repenting and asking for deliverance. The black man will never be on top in America. Not ever. And, it's like, when are you going to come to terms with what this really is? I mean, I understand that we have to fight for freedom. And I understand that we fought for just human decency. We fought for being treated like a human being. We fought for dignity. We fought for respect. I get all that. I mean, I understand that the fight can't stop, because if you let your guard down, like they said, some of the white evangelicals would like to see us back in slavery. If you let your guard down, that's where they would like to see us go back to. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, for us as a people, we need to understand what it is and go before our Elohim, because that's the only thing that's going to work.
Yep.
You can't expect the enemy to have compassion. How you going to have some compassion?
But, you know, Yaina, so many of our people, or the people we think are our people, so many of us are so far removed from Yah, so far removed from any type of religious thought or spiritual thought, that, you know, this is all we see. We going to be here forever, and this is what we're going to do. They're not even thinking like we think. It's easy for us who eyes are open to a lot of truth to see, you know, what it is. But for majority of our people, they won't see it. They just can't see it. No matter how much you try to beat it in their brain, that we need to leave here, or that we need to pray, or that we need to submit to the Most High in the right way. You know, they don't see it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, you know, but what can you do to get them to see? I mean, what else do they have to take? What else has to happen?
People start falling out. People start dying. That'll get their attention quick, fast, and unheard.
But we've been dying. We've been falling down the street now. We've been shot down in the street.
You're right, but I'm talking about when showing up play come through here and people just start falling out beside you, then you start thinking about praying. That's when they're going to do it. But for right now, they ain't got enough fear in their heart right now.
But you know what I think it is, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that social media has been the biggest monster that they could have ever created. It was good in a sense to use to connect to people all over the world, but what it has done is that it has created so many narcissistic people that this next generation that we're dealing with, all they're concerned about is themselves. All they're not concerned about social issues or cultural issues. You might have a few, but for the most part, people are concerned about themselves and look at me and look at what I'm doing and look how I look and see what I wear and how I, it's just a big explosion of pride. And the Most High said in the last days that men will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of Yah. And that is the truth. It really is the truth. Because if you strip away Facebook, if they shut down Facebook today, some people would not know how to function. They wouldn't.
Nope.
And TikTok and all the, and Instagram and all the other stuff that is out there that keeps these people preoccupied to the point where it's almost like they're walking around in a trance. And I think that that's where this boy was. This boy was caught up in the moment. You know what I'm saying? And to him, it was real in the moment, you know, and he wasn't thinking about the consequences because, and then once everything happened and reality hit and his life was on the line, then you got big old crocodile tears and crying and breaking down on the set because this stuff, I tell people all the time, that mess y'all see on TV isn't real. It's not real. But then guess what? It became really real when his life was on the line.
Oh.
It's a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole country of our people that's living in a fantasy world. They would rather live in a fantasy world than deal with reality, in my opinion.
That's just what it is.
Everybody's a star. Boy, the devil got these people mind gone. Everybody is a star. Everybody is somebody special. Everybody has, it's a big, it's a big old carnival and a big old show everywhere you go, everywhere you turn. They living in a fantasy. They really are. They living in a fantasy world. And that's what he was doing. He was caught up in the social media stuff, caught up in the social media fantasy, caught up in that world, and he decided his mom, yeah, we gonna protest. Yeah, we gonna go. And he walked into a real live event with real live people and shot and killed two people and maimed another guy. But when he was sitting in the jail, it became real. It's real. I don't understand. I mean, you know, I understand it. I get it. And guess what? We standing over here with truth, and we're watching the production of the fantasy, whether it be church, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, whatever it is that they have attached to the people, whatever kind of media outlet, whether it be social media or regular media, we're watching this big ball of confusion just hit the people to keep them distracted, and here comes Israel saying, hey, we have the solution. It's Yah. If you just call on Yah. And you know what? That's too simple. There's no excitement in this. Maybe like, well, there's no excitement in that. What are you guys over there doing? Do you have anything going on special? And it's like, we know Yah. Okay, but what else? You know, is there anything? And these young people's minds are gone. Their minds are gone. They're gone.
This is strange.
You're talking about the Matrix. Man, they done plugged these people up to the Matrix so tough, they gone.
Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says only a remnant. Last time I checked, a remnant means, definition of remnant is a small part.
Brother Yeraslam, with social media, they have plugged these people back up to the machine.
Yeah.
And the machine is in control. It really is. And then when something like this happens, the whole world shocked. Well, what do you expect? When you spend 99.9% of your time living in a fantasy world.
But to a lot of them, that's reality. That's reality to a lot of them. Yep.
And people can't live their normal lives and function without living in a fantasy. They mimic what they see on TV. They mimic what they see on these reality shows. They mimic everything from hairstyles to eyebrows to clothes they wear to the shoes they wear. We have been robots living in this society mimicking what we've seen them tell us to do using media and social media. We have. And the Bible clearly tells you, be in the world, but be not of it. And that's exactly what he means. Don't be manipulated by what you see. That's exactly what he means. Don't be manipulated by what you see. Unplug yourself from the machine. Face reality and see what it is. Because I'm telling you, when we went through that COVID and they shut everything down, the machine was unplugged and everybody got a moment just for a glimpse. A brief moment to see what it really was. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't. The parents didn't want to deal with the kids at home. The husbands and wives were killing each other because they didn't really want to be married to who they was married to.
That's sad.
Come on.
It's sad.
It was. They said they had more murders from husbands and wives during that period when we was on shutdown than anything, and they made sure that the liquor store stayed open, and it was a business of necessity because people couldn't handle living in the reality for that brief moment. And handle it. They couldn't. They couldn't sit still. They didn't like the person that they were married to or their significant other or they was living with. It was too much for them to adjust to just a simple way of life. The party stopped. The machine was brought to a halt all over the world. It's like it went and nothing was happening. And people said, okay, now what do we do? How do we function now? Where do we go? What do we do now? And they just didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't.
I think that was just a taste of what's to come.
It is. The whole machine stopped. And then guess what they said? They said, oh, we got to start the machine back up because people getting antsy. What? COVID is not, we haven't found a solution. No, we haven't. But we're just telling them to keep their mask on because we got to keep the machine going. And then all the entertainment ramped back up again. And it went back into motion. And it's just been one big hell of a ride. It's sad. You know, and no matter how much we try to tell people, unplug yourself from the machine, you know, take the red pill and unplug yourself. Because the sad part about Israel is when the Most High come and get you, guess what, ready or not, he's going to unplug you. And some people going to go through some serious DT. They're going to go through some serious changes.
Yeah.
The machine is just is back up again. You know, it's just something to see. I mean, you know, it's just something when you really, when he really opens your eyes and you get to see it from the outside looking in, it's just looking like, wow. No. No. It's just incredible. It's just incredible, the mentality of people today. It's just sad. You know, it's just so sad. It is. It's so sad. But you got to take the red pill. You're going to have to wake up. You're going to have to come out of it. You know? And people just don't realize it. Hold on. Let me open up the mic. Area code 919. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
I was just going to say, you know, it's so interesting after the COVID shutdown, everybody just wants to go back to the very same thing. You know, it seems to me you want to kind of alter your life, be more meaningful, but they just want to get back to the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they don't have anything else.
Mm-hmm. The fantasy.
Yeah. But that's all the Gentile, that's all they have. This is their culture.
Yeah, that's true. That is very
true. They don't
true.
Have Yah.
That's true. That's true. And that's all that we've learned. You know, how to live in the fantasy. You know, and like you, like I said, how many people really understand that we're living in a fantasy? We hooked up to the machine.
Yeah. What else would they go back to? What else could they? This is it for them.
And for us, guess what? What else have we contributed? I mean, tell me. I want to know. Because, I mean, I know I read about George Washington Carver and the peanut and all that kind of stuff. And I know that we if you really go through and do the research, that black people have really created a lot of things that they never got credit for. But other than that, what else do we have? Other than organized religion,
mm-hmm.
because that's kept people busy for 20, 30, 40 years.
Right.
You know, so it's been another fantasy. It's very interesting to watch it. It's very interesting to watch it. It's very interesting to see all of the narcissistic personality behaviors. It's very interesting from everybody here, not just us, everybody here. You know, and everybody, it's just unbelievable. It's just unreal. And like I said, when they arrested him and he wasn't able to go home, it got real serious for him. That's where all the crocodile tears came from. That's where all the information came from with him and, ooh, I didn't mean, and I feared for my life. But you shouldn't have been there. But the fact that you realize that this is serious. Time stood still for that moment. His mom and them in the audience crying, you brought him to the fight. You know, and then when we have the kind of peace that we have, you know, and realizing that, you know, yeah, it's nice to have stuff, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against it. I'm not at all. Have at it. But when you can get the kind of peace that comes with knowing the Most High Yah, it changes everything. Those things that you use to unplug yourself from the fantasy, they're not an issue anymore. You know. But I just, you know, I don't realize. I don't understand, you know, the mentality. And when you look at them, and the Most High tell you, these is a hard-headed group of people. These is a stiff-necked bunch of people. It's interesting. I'll tell you, it is one of the most interesting things that I've ever seen before in my whole life. I really have. I've never seen anything like this. You know, here, hold on. Area code 337, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Today, it is 65% run. So the
Brother Leonard, your mic is open.
For Nick Sirianni, the Eagles, they maintain the consistency.
But yeah, it is very, very, it's a sad day, you know, and I know a lot of people that are living like this, for real, you guys, and they don't even realize it, or if they realize it, they can't afford to change it because they're scared, they're afraid of how their life might be altered if they do change it. So they continue to live in the fantasy. They really do. No, they really, really do. You know, and now you got black people breaking, they saying that was a warning shot. That was a warning shot up in the air because that's letting you know now that they can walk in any neighborhood and shoot up. They've been doing that.
Yep.
I mean, real talk, they've been doing that. I don't know. I don't know. I try my best to make sense of it all, you know. But there's so much coming at us. The machine has so much coming at us, from the media to the social media to the organized religion to the financial institutions to all of the wealth. They got us chasing after so many things that we'll never attain in this lifestyle, in this lifetime, doing it the way everybody was told you have to do it. That it's like we used to always say, it's like being on the hamster wheel and never get off.
No.
And then they sent a bunch of black people in front of us that have the stuff because they made a way for them to have it, and then tell us, look, you can be just like them if you do what we tell you to do. Well, guess what? Some of us have done those things, and it still didn't pan out like that. That you didn't tell us that these same people that we watching on TV that you consider to be stars and all that kind of stuff have plagued their life and all their stuff to Lucifer. Nobody told us that. But we got our kids standing trying to grow up and be rappers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, and things are moving so fast and changing. The reflection, like the time to think about anything, I don't think this generation even has that because things have already moved on. If you want to stay up to date, you got to keep moving. You don't even really have time to think about what's happening.
No.
To you.
No. And that's how they got the machine moving, at warp speed. It's moving at warp speed because every 6 months they got a new cell phone. You know what I'm saying? Are they coming out with a new social media outlet where you can connect to somebody and do something greater than you was doing before? Or they got video games that make you feel like you are really inside the games and, you know, you got bots and all kind of stuff that represent you. And it's a whole lot of stuff to keep you distracted. And the scripture tells us to be of the world, but don't be in it. Or be in the world and don't be of it. It tells us that. Unplug from the system. And you're right, they're moving at warp speed.
Mm-hmm.
it's just unreal. It's unreal the things that we have had to endure and the things that we have had to see, you know, and the things that we've participated in willingly. We've done this willingly. So when you come along, sis, and you speaking truth, and you trying to get them to see something, they looking at you like you crazy. Like, man, lady, I don't want to know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about no church stuff. I don't want to deal with no Jesus stuff, huh? Or Yahweh or Yah or whatever. I don't want to deal with none of that. It's always something to keep us distracted. Always. That's why my
and it
prayer
shows too that.
Go ahead, sis.
Also says it shows too that the systems we were in with Christianity, they didn't prepare our minds for the truth.
No, they couldn't. They don't have it.
They don't have it, or to seek it. You know, I mean, they hidden it, and so I think, you know, when you try to tell people, it's like basically they can't really look back at what they've been doing and reevaluate it. That would require you to seek the truth rather than just continue to spew a doctrine.
That's true. That's very true. And that's another trick of the enemy. That's the carnival. That's what it's all about. It's, like you said, you're so distracted and it's moving so fast, you don't even have the time to think about what's going on around you, because as soon as you put this down, you got to go to something else. And they just keep throwing it at us and throwing it. That's why I prayed on the Day of Atonement to the Most High. I said, we need you to show up. If ever there was a desire that I would have, it's for you to show up, because I know you exist, and the Israelites know you exist, and we have it on record in the Bible that you exist, and you showed up at certain times, and the other nations were fearful because you were there with us. People don't believe you exist because they haven't seen you in a long time. I really would like for you to show up. Because these people don't believe that there is anything to be afraid of. They don't believe that there's anything or any God out there that they should have to reverence or should be afraid of. So everybody is doing whatever they want. And that's what we have to pray when we come together on the 11th. The Most High to show up.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the gods that these people worship, including Christianity, anything and everything goes. Anything and everything
that
goes.
That love doctrine.
Yeah.
That love doctrine without the guidance of the commandment, that just unleashes all kinds of, of stuff. Let me just put it that way.
That's a good way to put it. That is true. Love. All you got to do is just love. She said, without the commandments. If you can love, and we don't have to keep the commandments, we can just love. And it's all about love. And it sounds good. But boy, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can love your pets. You can love all kinds of stuff.
Right. And they have no fear. Nobody has any fear.
I meant that by the behaviors that are permitted now in this society.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. And this is what these are the people that we're dealing with now. You know, and I heard a brother say, you know, he said that they were real tricky with what they did. All of a sudden, all the racist statues and stuff they wanted to get rid of, they tore them down. They was pulling statues down of the Confederacy and pulling all kind of statues and horses down and taking them down. And all of that was a trick because they could come back and say, well, if we got rid of our racism stuff, then we're going to have to get rid of your racism stuff and take slavery out of the picture. We're going to remove slavery from the books. because we don't want our kids to feel bad because of slavery. So we did it. So since we did it, you do it. And everybody was like, wait a minute, that was a part of history. And then they'll turn around and say, well, so was the Confederacy. But we removed them. So now it's our turn to remove slavery from the school books so our children don't feel bad about what happened to you.
Yep.
Real slick. Ooh, you got to see it, boy. When you see it, when the Most High show it to you, all you can say is, wow. You got to see it. So now they can rewrite the history books because they took their stuff down, and now it's your turn to comply. So now we don't have to, now you don't have to worry about justifying being an Israelite because now there's nothing to say that you were ever a slave in the first place.
Yeah.
It's crucial stuff. It's just crucial. It really is. It's crucial.
It's self-protection for them. It's always about their self-protection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about that. No question. Mm-hmm. There's some sad stuff going on. You know, we try to do the best that we can. We're constantly, we like a light hid on top of a hill. And, you know, and it's burning bright. But it's so much darkness. It's so much darkness that even our own children, even the people that we preach to every day, they still need to see Yah. They need to see him show up. Because they're saying, okay, well, we believe it and you do it, but where is he? Where is he at? Hold on. Area code 720. Mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, I was just listening to you guys talk about the statues going down, and I'm noticing now they're talking a lot about the woke doctrine. And they're saying the woke doctrine is talking about discrimination and things like that. But I think they got that originally from those of us who woke up to who we are. And I think they manipulated that term to mean what they wanted it to mean. Because I don't think they took the original meaning, which I think they got from us. And they took it and twisted it to mean something totally different. But I agree with you about how we have just been so plugged in to this matrix of reality shows and all the stuff that we've been into. And then when the pandemic hit, it shocked people so that they just wanted that life back, and they wanted it back at any way they can get it back, they wanted it. And they went for it. And I think they were fully manipulated into those of us who were not awake were fully manipulated into getting back to where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. All of it. Let me tell you something. Every media outlet, and I know some of you all say, well, I listen to RPR or whatever it is, and I get a different news channel. Every media outlet is owned by the Council of Foreign Relations. Every last one of them. Everything we see is controlled. Everything we experience is controlled. It is. And I heard one of the Caucasian pastors say something that stuck with me years ago. He said, from my research, it almost appears as though we're living on a prison planet, that the planet has been taken hostage, and that we're prisoners on this planet. We just don't realize it. And that the machine, and this is me saying it about the machine, is that the machine keeps us so preoccupied that nobody really pays attention. You know, and you can live your whole life being preoccupied and being attached to the machine. And it's okay. Because I watched my family live their whole lives that way. They went to work. They came home. They took vacations. We had Thanksgiving dinner. We had Christmas. People had babies. We did baby showers. People bought houses. People got careers. We went to graduation parties. Everything was just pre-organized. Everything, there was a step to it. And then they grew old and older, and then they died, and we went to funerals. And it just was a constant repetition of the same thing. You know, and until the Most High took and woke us up and said, look, it's more to this than what you're seeing. Let me show you what's really going on. And now we still do some of the same things, a lot of the things, but with a different mindset. Some of the stuff we skip. Some of the stuff we don't even participate in anymore. You know? It's being detached from the machine, and our kids are so caught up in it that they don't even know what to do without it. They don't. You know, when you tell the sisters, you know, ain't gonna be no more weave. What? What you mean? You know, no more of that. You know, when you let them know, you know that there's not gonna be any more Facebook. Well, what are we going to do? Because guess what? When I was growing up, we didn't even have Facebook.
Me either. Nope.
We had no Facebook.
And we were just fine without it.
Yeah, we were. You know, yes, we were. And, you know, and this is how they have kept us preoccupied. And then we did church. And church took us the rest of the way. You know, with the whole by and by. You know it's going to be all right by and by. You know, don't worry about now, but just wait on the by and by.
Yeah.
And then when you know that, now you pray, y'all, please show up. Just show up for us. We need you to show up. Just to let the world know you're there. Because they have no fear. And like she said, that love doctrine, that's from the devil. It's straight from the devil. Because it's love without consequences.
Love without righteousness.
Right. All of it. No consequences, no righteousness. No nothing, just love. Love whatever you want to love and do whatever you want to do and everything going to be all right. And there are, you have to be accountable to Elohim. And the Elohim that these people serve, the gods that these people serve, there's no accountability, it's none. That's how they can shoot us in the street and go to church on Sunday. It is. And lift up so-called holy hands. That's how they can lay up and do whatever they want to do sexually, and it's okay. Because there's no accountability for anything that they're doing. Like she said, no commandment. There's none. It's crucial. Mm. That's a dangerous doctrine. And it was so subtle, we didn't even think about it. Like, well, it's just love. Why are you so angry? Why don't you love me? He's a God of love. Yeah, okay.
And then they had to go, Jesus is love. I mean, that's where they started with, putting it within the religious doctrine.
Yeah. And guess what? He is. The one they serve named Jesus, he is. He fits right in with the rest of it. He do.
And he blessed the ones that he blessed the ones that look like him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And why wouldn't you? you want to serve one like that that'll let you do anything you want to do? I would shout for him, too, and run and huck a Mashonda. You know what I'm saying? Because you can serve him on your terms and do it the way you want to do it, and no one's the wiser because there's no accountability. Ain't none. There's no judgment. Oh, but when you unplug from the matrix and you get to see it for real, when you take that red pill, you know, and we only swallowed half of the pill. I can't imagine what the other half going to look like. Jeez. What'd you say, brother? You're right.
You ain't joking. You're going to be bad.
You haven't even swallowed the water yet to take the pills.
You're going to be scared to swallow the other half of the pill. Like, man, what is this? Oh, no, Eric Code 513, your mic is open. You're on the air. Let me see where she went to. Yeah. You only done swallow one half of the pill. Erico 513, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, family. I just wanted to chime in to let everybody know how important they are at this time. Because we had prophets before that were trying to tell us, but we didn't, you know, we had our grandmothers and great-grandmothers that was deep off in the religion, but something changed when we came about. I mean, we used to have the phone that hung up on the wall. You know, you didn't have calls. And then when this new technology came out, it's something about it that made us, like, not dive off into it. We knew something was not okay with that. So it's something really special about this generation right here, because we the only ones that know what happened before. What our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, we read the stories, we want to know. The generations after us don't want to know. They don't want to know all of that. They're not even interested.
That's true.
So you get to wondering, why did he wake you up at this time? Do you know how important you are to this story?
That's true.
Don't lose the faith. Don't lose the hope. Keep marching on, because we got to keep going. We got to keep going, because he woke you up for a reason. And we're going to play a vital part. I believe that, because looking at the way that the world is going, there's got to be a few people that's going to stand up and say, hey, that's not the way you want to go.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. You got a point. You got a point. We the generation that had one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. And we kind of standing in the gap. We remember when we have all that. And we got along just fine. You ain't going to need all that. Unplug yourself from that and let it go. Yeah. That's crucial. That's a very good point. We certainly was. We done seen it on each side. Like you said, we can go back to grandmamas, grandmamas, grandmamas and say, and they didn't even have it like that. What am I? I'm four generations away from cotton pickers. Four generations. My grandmother picked cotton, but her mother's mother picked cotton. I'm telling you. Everybody is going to be hooked up to the machine for us all over with those that don't know no better. And the machine is going to control. It's controlling now. It's crucial, you know. It's like when I remember, I was thinking about the other day when I graduated from high school. Now, I went to Catholic school, and I went back from Catholic school to public school, and I was in triple academic classes. I was. Chemistry was my thing, and math and all that kind of stuff, and calculus and all that. But when I graduated and I got out in the world, I realized that the things that I was taught in school was not the things I needed to know. You know, and it was like, well, then I had to reteach myself in order to function in the society that I was in. You know, so to me, it was a big distraction. You know, they were giving us an education, but it wasn't the education that we needed to know in order to survive. And then we had to go pay for more education so that we could learn how to survive out there, because the education we got in school was not helping us to learn how to survive. They were just educating us on different topics.
And probably not making the connections that you needed to take that education where it needed to go to advance you.
Absolutely not. Because I had to go get more education to do that. And then that's a whole other monster. Yeah, machine,
you connect. Oh, go ahead.
You know?
I was just thinking they were grooming you for college so that they could put you in debt and you can cash in on the American dream and go in debt for it. That's the whole goal.
That's the goal. And guess what? Student loan stuff is getting ready to kick back in January. And we're at the same situation we was at before, because they don't want to forgive it because they want to keep you in debt.
Yep. Right. And like my brother said, that's the one loan that you can't write off in bankruptcy is the student loan.
Oh.
Nope. Mm-mm. They gonna try to keep you in that matrix, and I mean, even if they have to, it seems that people can't unplug because a lot of them are just not awake. For number one, number two, they can't unplug because they're so bound to it.
Yeah. And when you finally do unplug from it, the people that are still plugged up look at you like there's something wrong with you. They do. My boss asked me, she said, how are we going to enjoy your week off? I said, I'm going to rest and watch me a couple movies. Oh, you're going to watch some Christmas movies? I said, I don't celebrate Christmas. She said, oh. I came up again. What are you going to do all week? I said, I'm just going to kick back and watch me a couple movies or something. Just be like, oh, go get your Christmas movies and watch. I didn't even feed into it because you refused. I've already told you I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't do that. But it's hard for people to accept that you've unplugged.
Well, they can't fathom that you are independent from the way that they taught you to think, the way the religions that they geared you into. It's hard to fathom that this one, how in the world is she breaking loose, or she or he, not doing what we've taught them to do for generations?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I agree as well, like, You, how could you disengage from, like you just said, what you were programmed to do? And that also means that, like Jesus, you're not buying it.
Right. Right. And there goes the dangerous part about it. We got to do something about them because they ain't complying. We got to do something. That ain't going to work. Everybody else is complying. Why you ain't complying? Why you don't believe this? You're supposed to. We've done everything we could with computerized programming for you to program your mind to accept this so that you can be like the herd, and they're not complying. But our Bible tells us to be in the world but not be of it. So we're not supposed to comply.
And see, they'll try to sneak you back in. Well, why don't you be in charge of the game?
Okay.
Or, you know, come up with some kind of refreshments. Bring you know, they'll try to get you in there some kind of way. And if you're not wired to it, you'll fall right back into it and not knowing that you done fell back into it.
Sure will. Mm-hmm. Or you have to explain to them why you don't do it. Well, why don't you? No? Well, why don't you celebrate Easter? I said it's simple. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Now, if you can do that, you let me know with 12-hour day and 12-hour night. I said, and bunnies don't lay eggs. Bunnies have bunnies. So how does that work?
For children.
You are a troublemaker. You become a troublemaker.
Right. And then they look at you puzzled like, I still don't understand why you just don't do it. I just told you why I don't do it. Because it don't make sense.
I had one that told me with that. She said,
it's with Bonnie.
They still push, though. I had one when I said, no, I observed Torah. She said, but not even Jesus' birthday? I said, no. And she said, but don't some tourists, she called me a tourist, don't some tourists do that? I said, I imagine there's some that do.
Right. And they really try to make you explain yourself. I don't understand why you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that's the love doctrine. It's all about love. I told the lady, I said, show me how you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Because every
and I
pastor
bet you didn't,
they
don't have an answer
Sunday
for that.
And say, he rose Sunday morning. How if he died on a Friday? And he told you he was going to be on the earth for 3 days and three nights. How you do that? No.
And when they go over to the Holy Land, they just bowed in front of that wall, and just disregarding what the scripture says when Yahushua said that not one stone would be standing.
Right.
But
right.
You know, they still continue mm-hmm. the same thing, and it's like they don't want to be awake. It's horrible. It's like cultists.
It is cultists. And guess what? That whole wall was left. And he told them not one stone would be left upon another. It was all going to be torn down. So, you know, we have to understand that the matrix is still, that machine is real. And that machine is keeping you plugged in. And even some of us that have unplugged, like she said, if they could have their way, they would plug us right back again. You know, somebody told me their job had a meeting, and they was trying to convince the people to get the shot. Wow. And it was a mandatory meeting. Well, no, another part of the programming. How many times do we have to tell you that we have a right to make a choice? You're not going to steal our choice. Well, I don't understand why you don't keep Christmas. Christmas is such a festive holiday, and everybody is so happy around Christmas. You just don't do anything. You don't give gifts. I don't do anything.
And don't try to give no gift to me.
Exactly. And you know they do.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sitting at my desk one year working, minding my own business, and I look up and here's this big white woman with this bunny outfit on, scares the mess out of me. I mean, she scares the mess. And I looked up like, oh, my goodness. She told me, do you want candy? I said, no.
They leave it on your desk, too. They'll leave it on your desk when you're not there.
Big old white lady with this big old bunny outfit on, looking up like, what in the world? Why would you even put that on?
Yeah, have you no shame?
She scared the mess out of me. I looked up like, what in the world? You know, it's just how they push. And it's just unfortunate. It's like, oh, my goodness, leave me alone. All I want to do is come to work and do my work and go home. As long as I do, we have that fair exchange, and I get my paycheck, that's what I want to do.
But it's like they can't let you alone. It's like the manipulation. They've got to get you to buy into it. And I don't know if that's because we have awaken to our true who we are, that if they don't get a certain amount of us to buy into this matrix, that perhaps they feel it will go away, or maybe it will, I don't know. But it does seem like they just gnaw at you to try to get you to buy in, plug in, and they just cannot accept that you are no longer part of this matrix.
Yeah.
But they do it to us in a way they don't do it to Jewish people.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They're not pressuring them to participate.
No. No. No, they don't. Because they can accept them for who they are. They can't accept you for who you say you are. They can accept them for who they are. But not you because of who you say you are. Because if they can accept you for who you say you are, then they have to accept the fact that there's more coming for them. And they just refuse to do that. We can't have you doing that. We need you to do what everybody else do. You got to either be Christian, you got to be Muslim, you can be Jehovah's Witness, you can be Seventh-day Adventist, and that's it, and Baptist.
You can be Ham. You can be Ham.
Yeah, you can be Ham, but that's it. We can't let you go in anywhere else, because if you move into any other direction, then there's that gray area. We got to confront who we are, and what we've done.
Exactly.
No.
Just the idea. Is there anything in the scripture that says that they will come to understand who we are before the Messiah comes back?
He says that, where is that scripture at, that then they will know. Hold on, let me find it.
So I have loved you.
Yeah, and that you are my people.
Because I feel like if they found out and really believed it before he comes back, we would be in bad shape.
Yeah. Because anytime you got evangelicals talking about us going back into slavery? You know?
Who's talking about us going back into slavery? What evangelical was saying that?
They were saying that the white evangelicals were making this comment that they would like to see us go back into slavery.
Oh, my goodness. God, there is just no repentance. It's crazy.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. I'm thinking it's in the book of Jeremiah. Let me find it. There was a scripture that said that they will know that we are the children of, that we are his people.
that we went into slavery, is that the one for our sins and that he has loved us, and that the heathen may know that I have loved you?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
I think that's in Revelation.
The heathen may know that I have loved you. Yep. That is Ezekiel 39. It's Ezekiel chapter 39, and you are precious and honored in Isaiah 43. Let's see. It says, Ezekiel 39, verse 23, it says, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquities because they trespassed against me. Therefore, I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore saith the Most High Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwell safely in their land and none make them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and sanctified them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Most High their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them there anymore. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Most High Elohim. That's Ezekiel 39, verse 23 through 29. Yes, indeed. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah 43 and 4, it says, where is the new king? Since thou was precious in thy sight, in my sight thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people and nations for in exchange for your life. That's too much for people to deal with. Because you know why? It contradicts that whole love stuff. He's about love. I can't believe that the God of the universe has just separated. That he sounds too racist for me when you say those type of things.
Yeah, but that God of love that they talk about, if they think about it, that's the same one that allowed his own people to go into captivity.
Yeah, it did.
The same one that left eight people on the earth.
Sure enough, eight. Right. Wait a minute. The same one that allowed Joseph to go down into Egypt and made Jacob think his son was dead for 17 years.
Yeah. You don't want to talk about that part.
That kill every child, woman, man when you go into those cities. Don't leave anybody alive.
Yep. That's right.
I guess that explains why they don't read too much of the Old Testament.
Oh, no.
They find out about that.
They don't want to read that. That's right. Yes, indeed. Crucial.
And I've noticed that all the pre-tribbies, where they pre-tribulation, where they believe that before any tribulation, they would be raptured up. Now they say, well, we're probably going to be mid-tribulation. And then, Jesus will come and we will all be raptured. And it's just amazing how they keep changing the story and moving the goalposts. But nobody talks about repentance and coming to true righteousness. Nobody talks about that.
No. Because like I said,
they sure don't want to talk about his people being black.
And because everybody mm-hmm. wants to stay in the fantasy. The fantasy is easier to live in than to deal with truth, because we had to come to the reality that, you know, with all the wars and all the marching and all the other stuff and all the things that we've been fighting for, that we are here because we disobeyed Yah. That's the reality. And nobody wants to come to the reality. It's easier to live in that fantasy world that, yes, we're going to be swooped up and caught away, and, yes, we're going to be saved, and our little children are going to make it, and it's going to be a wonderful situation, and it's all about love. It's easier to deal with. Because anything else is too much to take.
It's like that scene in The Matrix. Do you remember when the guy was eating that steak? And he said, I know it's not real. He'd rather just be in that world and not believe it.
Absolutely. Just let me pretend. You know, and it's like, it ain't real, though, I know, but just let me pretend. That's what we're dealing with. You know? And like I said, we only took half of the red pill. We getting ready to swallow the other half of the red pill. So it's going to be interesting. Real. You're like, geez. Some more? You like, yeah, some more. Let me show you this.
And you can't,
like, oh.
You can't unswallow it, can you?
No. 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 How do you go back to not knowing? It's impossible. You can't pretend. Try to go up in church and sit through that. And see what happens. Just a little bit of it. Try to go back up in there and sit through just a little bit of that. You know, it's crucial. And you watching them hoop and holler and stomp and scream across the stage, and the show goes on. And now they talking about Elohims and the Most High. Now they using those terminologies instead of God. You can't, ain't no way you're going to come through the back door with this one. You're going to have to come all the way correct. Not that you, instead of God, it's the Elohims and the this and the that. No, no, no. But that's where we at. That's the lifestyle that... That's the pain of being awake that you got to watch. It's painful. It is truly painful. You be like, oh, my goodness. It really is. No. And imagine what our grandparents felt like when they really lived a simple life and everything was simple. Imagine what they felt like. You know, they like, oh, Lord. You know, but this is the world we living in today, the one that he's trying to unplug us from so he can put us in a place of safety when the time comes. Because this is going to keep going until they finish their time, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. The party is going to continue. It's going to continue.
Yes, I mean, they don't have anything... Mm-hmm. They don't have anything to go back to. We have to get back to something.
Yes,
they don't
ma'am.
Have anything to get back to.
Nope. That's what they don't want to face. You know? Yes, indeed. What did he tell us in the scriptures? In Deuteronomy chapter 4:7. He said, what nation is so great? Who have Yah so nigh unto them as the Most High mm-hmm. Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? What other nation can do this? He's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And no other nation can do this. Psalms 105, 1 and 2 says, give praise to the Most High. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Only his people can do this. Yes, indeed. Ain't no other nation can do this but us. That's why you are public enemy number one. Jeez. I seen this little young girl called from tape. She was like, I just got to know one question. Just answer me one question. She was just screaming, why they hate us so much? Nobody was there to answer the question. Well, well, guess what? We've come to the end of our show. I have so enjoyed this show, you know, because we got to understand we got to unplug from the matrix. You're going to have to unplug. So this is not a problem. Unplug from the matrix. And if you unplug, stay unplugged. Do not be tricked back into it under no circumstances, you know. And I just wanted to say that, you know, all praise be to the Most High Yah. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, brother Yerushalayim, for helping to facilitate the show today. I really do appreciate that, you know, because it's always good to hear from both male and female, because that's what we know and that's what promotes the kingdom of Yah. And we're going to keep moving forward. We will have our regularly scheduled programs for next week. Brother Yerushalayim, you want to give information about the men's call?
Yes, ma'am. The men's call is every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number for the call is 720-820-1215. That's 720-820-1215. No access code needed.
And our ladies' call, ladies, you guys is missing that call. That call is getting better and better. Our call on Tuesday night is the same time at 7:30, and it's 712-770-4066, 712-770-4066, and the access code is 154-102-POUND, 154-102-POUND. Don't forget, on Wednesday night, we have our five chapters that we're reading. We're working our way through the Old Testament. It will be the same number that we use for our Sabbath day class. And we would like to invite you to join us on that day for the reading. It starts at 7 o'clock p.m. And on Thursday night, we're in the New Testament, and that's also at 7 o'clock. We read five chapters, we talk about it, and then we hang up. And then also we have our Supernatural Saturday. That's on the Sabbath day. We invite you to join us there. We have a full week this week. Some of you are off because of the Thanksgiving holiday or whatever that they're having. And we are, get you some rest, you know, and enjoy your time off work. And we will see you guys on Tuesday night if you can make it. If not, on Wednesday. If not, we'll see you on Thursday. And if you can't make it then, we'll see you on the Sabbath day. Shalom, shalom, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Good night, everybody.
Shalom. Good night. Shalom.